Okay. So you are listening to the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee meeting for the 9th of April. I'm Catherine Davis, the chair, and we have Jim Dimon as the secretary. So let me call the roll. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron, absent. Catherine Davis is here. Benito Diaz, absent. James Dingman?
Here.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
I'm here.
Are you? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Steve Pride is absent. Cliff Smith?
Here.
And Tom Voorhees?
Here.
All right, so we do have quorum, and so can anyone volunteer to be a timekeeper? I don't hear anyone, so all right, I'll do my best to do it.
This is Grace. I'll keep time. If I can't for some reason, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you, Grace. We don't have minutes today, right? Correct, Jim, but we will have at the next meeting.
Yeah, you're going to have them. They're coming up. I've written out 2 days. I'm sort of beginning February, so I'm catching up. I'll be able to type
their own
type two for the next meeting, maybe even three.
Okay. All right. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? We have a report from the executive director. I don't believe he is with us. Maxie Jackson, are you on the call? No, he's out of town, so probably not on the call. So I'm going to take that off the agenda. And then we have a written report to the PMB from the Programming Committee, requested by the chair of the committee. So we have to decide what we want to include in that. And are there any motions that anyone would like to bring to the floor for a vote? No? Okay. Are there any discussions that anyone would like to bring to the table?
Well, I'd like to talk about podcasting.
Okay. All right.
Cliff,
so we'll add that.
Cliff has a question.
Yes, Cliff.
What is the status of the disclaimers business?
Disclaimers, did that, that motion was passed by this committee, but the PMB hasn't really affirmed any of our motions and passed them. So whomever is represented on the PMB will have to rebring these motions, but we could also resubmit them in our report. That is to go to the PMB.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else would like to add anything to agenda?
I'd like an update from Tom about what's going on with the whole May Day initiative in California with the video stream.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll add that, May Day.
Yeah, there's really not much to say at this point. I have asked for an update from Franklin, and I have
so hold on to that, Tom. Let's approve the agenda. Okay, and then we have adjourn at 11. So are there any other changes or adjustments to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, the agenda is passed. So, Tom, since you started, you might as well go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I did get a response from Franklin, and he didn't have much to report and promised to get back to us, but I haven't gotten anything yet, and I will inquire here after the meeting and see if I can't get us an update.
Okay. That's great. You know, maybe you could just send people an email if you get it. Okay,
Kathy, could I add to that something? Yeah. Last in New York, there was a two-day conference that was held at Columbia University on Central American migration. And part of it was conducted in Spanish, and part of it was conducted in English. Joe Friendly, who is someone, a local cinematographer who's known to us in New York, he went and filmed it, and then the people themselves doing it filmed the parts that were in Spanish, which I include in mentioning they had a particularly valuable section by economists from Honduras, Guatemala, Costa Rica, et cetera, talking about what causes the multiplicity of reasons why the migrations from Central America are particularly high. And one of the things that I did was we put it together. Here is an example of not only the kind of things that, you know, those guys want to do in Berkeley, but here's an example of something that I would argue we want to put on and allow as additional programming in a video form to the mix. In other words, I'm sure that there are things like this that are happening in every signal area. The whole point of, I think, I certainly backed the initiative that those guys were making was just not simply to back that solely as the first of it, but to allow things in Berkeley and in Washington and in Los Angeles and New York and in Houston start to come up from the bottom here. And so I just want to bring that forward because, you know, it's still timely. It's still something that is fresh. It'll be less fresh in a week, but it has, you know, this is the kind of thing we were talking about doing to when we passed that motion on video streaming to start to do these kind of things. So I just want to offer that has happened. I'm pursuing getting the whole thing in terms of all the video taken that day because it was pretty clean audio. I'm not arguing for it to be put on the terrestrial signal. I'm arguing it to be a supplement that could be offered to people as, you know, here you could watch it. It's useful for you to inform yourselves in a deeper fashion about what's going on in terms of this aspect of this whole migration issue. And I just wanted to make just a quick report on that.
Where, what was the conference called again?
It was a conference on the politics of migration in Central America. I will send to everybody tonight the links, but the whole idea is just to, you know, here's this kind of additional kind of programming that we could offer to our audience, and maybe we could, you know, start to have something like Pacifica YouTube or something, something that's not that difficult to just create a link to. Like, here's this information, you know, people can watch it or not watch it, but something that supplements and gets beyond the problem of having to battle away to come in with, you know, 8 or 9 hours of audio or video that would disrupt the normal 168-hour grid. This is just something to supplement or let people know mm-hmm. that it's here, they can look at it, that kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I'd like to see it, that's for sure. At least the English-speaking part, since I don't actually speak Spanish.
Cliff to the stack.
Yes, Cliff.
every May Day stuff happens. People around the world take advantage of the day, and not just official celebrations, but unofficial, to present whatever issues they have. And so when you put this on, I think it'd be great if it could be kept track what is happening, you know, hour by hour around the world, and, you know, like break with interrupting news and so on like that. Anyway, it's just an idea.
Do you know of any resources where that information can be attained?
No, usually it's unexpected and it comes on the May Day itself. It's usually not necessarily planned.
Oh, I see.
So are you aware that there's some folks at KPFA that are trying to put something like that together? Cliff?
Oh, yeah, they are. That's what I'm saying. I just think that during that day of May Day, I'm trying to push for a May Day thing here, but I'm not that optimistic about how many hours we're going to get on May Day here at WPFW. But anyway, that's one of the things that I'm saying, is that keep track of the news worldwide to see what happens during that day.
Well, you should get an invitation at your station from Franklin to join what they're trying to put together. They're trying to get the Pacifica stations to go with it, and also participate in activities in their areas, and also a number of the Pacifica affiliates is what they're attempting to organize.
Okay, we have an LSB meeting tomorrow night, so I'll bring that up at the meeting.
Okay, and what I'll do is I'll try to give you a link so that you can converse with Franklin, who's the person that's organizing it in Berkeley.
Okay, thank you.
Jim, does anybody else want to jump in on this?
Okay, go ahead.
You know, these are the kind of things that, again, there are other anniversaries or dates of consequence coming up down the road. And also, you know, the whole idea was just not to, because May Day, I know in New York, you know, there's a whole bunch of programming. I know Mimi Rosenberg does a whole bunch of stuff. So there's all this different kind of programming occurring. It's not only in the grid, but in addition to it. But I think that going forward, there's lots of things that happen in California and the Bay Area that would be interesting to a national and international audience, aside from the May Day thing. I remember talking to some people in California, and they were mentioning these things, that there's all this other stuff. And so the whole idea is just simply figure ways to broaden the kind and not do it expensively, because I don't think creating a link or something like that allows somebody to access information that's already up on the web. It's not a big deal. It's not like we're asking people to spend $1,000. It's just simply a code issue or something like that. But I think that's the kind of thing that could really be exciting, because a sort of a C-SPAN type of offering that Pacifica does with other programming that we cannot normally deliver, because we get into the fights of preempting people and avoiding that. Just simply put it on the side and let them see that. And there's tons of public affairs stuff. There's tons of cultural stuff, but particularly public affairs stuff these days that would be useful for our audiences to see. Yeah, that's the whole reason to argue this, to get this done. It's not a big deal as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So hopefully we'll be able to get those things in motion. The other thing on our agenda that's reasonably important is a written report to the PMB. So it's easy enough to send them the list of motions that were passed and that are still on the table. Could we just briefly look at the ones that have not been passed and see if any of them could be taken off the list. You know, the Mitchell Cohn testimony, I don't know if that's still relevant.
Yeah. Is it okay if I comment on this?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
All right. Well, part of the reason to put the Michael Cohn thing, was just simply to take advantage of breaking news stories and have all the different stations cooperate. The food stamp policy, again, it's, you know, these are issues that the idea behind that was to basically take – that's when Trump was deciding to threaten. I mean, we've got all these great opportunities, unfortunately, with this SOB in the White House, where we can do some really creative public affairs national programming with all the stations cooperating. Attacks on food stamps, which are going to continue. He's going back to attack the Medicare-Medicaid combo. These are things that, you know, are no-brainers, but sometimes we got to argue them. The wall issue was, I said, this is going to, as many of you know, he's pushing this issue again and again and again, because when you look at polling data, about 70% of Americans are concerned about the migrant issue, all right? They don't necessarily agree. 40% agree with what he wants to do. So his argument all the time in pushing this is to, you know, get ready for the 2020 election so he can win about 10 or 15% of that group to win in key battleground states. So I personally think that it's beholden to Pacifica to really hammer away at and offer you know, all sorts of different programming and maybe special programming that deals with this. It intelligently punctures all these different kind of attitudes. Now, the Game of Thrones thing I threw up there, because in New York a few years ago, we tried to do this live. In other words, we wanted to create sort of a critical talking session when the Game of Thrones was being aired, and HBO stepped in and stopped us from doing that, although I know that they didn't do that when some of their other TV shows were being done, that show they were doing on vampires. I know they didn't interfere with anything like that. But here's a thing where here's this amazing cultural phenomena of these TV shows, and it's a way for us to sort of exploit that. I put in the International Holocaust Day because it was partly sparked by that Bonnie Faulkner controversy. You know, I'm just tired of having Pacifica having to be in a situation where these kind of things always happen. So I personally think that as a policy, Pacifica should encourage every annually when Holocaust Day occurs, I think it's January 27th, there should be special programming on what happened. And you can do all sorts of interesting creative programming. There's people who've done work on Arabs in North Africa, in the Maghreb, who sheltered Jews in North Africa. There's lots of things one can do that's different from what we do. But I think it's important to just end that kind of misperception of what goes on at Pacifica and just take that day and do some really interesting programming. And particularly these days with the rise of the far racist right and neo-Nazi movements, we have to revisit this. The game show resolution, this is something that years ago, Grace was on the phone. I remember we talked a long time ago about how important it is. You know, I don't have to tell anybody here as kids how these video games have huge audiences, like, you know, literally hundreds of millions of fans. And last summer I went to in New York they put on this Games for Change conference every year where they actually have game designers, people who do virtual reality games and video games, but do them for social change. And I felt that'd be a great outfit to partner with, to have us work with, to think about, you know, an interesting way to tie into that. The blockchain programming issue,
I will provide more information about that. That, I think, is very important because blockchain programming, in there's outfits that are set up in the Northeast. I know that they're here in New York, and they are receiving, as I mentioned before when we began to talk about this, they have people participating in there who get 50 to 60 to 70,000 paid subscribers to do their shows, and they're all pretty progressive. So I think that that's another line of us to follow. I'm looking at the motions we haven't passed. The use of surveys, I think we should be surveying the hell out of our listenership all the time. And this can be done by putting surveys into premiums. It can be done by working with the community advisory boards and creating survey monkeys. But we really need to get a better sense of what's working, not working from our audience. Traffic management, we've argued before. I mean, that's a no-brainer, but we had a big fight about that. Maxie felt it shouldn't be in there because it has to do with operations. My argument is that, you know, I've watched this go on for years, not dealt with, so I felt that we had to really start dealing with this. And by that, I mean just simply announcements, putting in forward promotions, making that more consistent. Staff training is very important. I mean, I know that out at Berkeley they have that apprenticeship program, but there's so many things we can do. And I recently discovered an online podcasting free course that I sent out. I'll send out to you guys. You know, if I was in a position, I'd say, you know, as many people as possible take advantage of this, because this is like free audio training. Technical need is mainly because sometimes, I remember in New York, I had donated from Columbia University 30 computers, which we didn't know what to do with. So that might have been useful to let other people know in the system that there were all these computers. So maybe we could have sent 10 of them down to Washington or something like that for people to use. The result of it was that they're no longer around, but we can always go back and get more computers if we need.
I was in the office a few days ago, a week ago, whatever, and I saw them piling all kinds of technical stuff to throw out. So you might want to double check. It looked like a lot of computer parts in there.
Right. there were the computers that this is all this remainder of equipment that's from 120 Wall Street. But in any event, that's another issue, what to do with surplus equipment, whether people need it here. At one point, an experimental college in India contacted me to get 10 of the computers. I don't want to get into it on the stream, but unfortunately, we couldn't do that. The public events issue, I know that some of the stations do this better than most. I know that KPFA is really up to snuff on this, but I put that in there because when BAI or any of the stations are really working really well, you know, usually have 4 or 5 events a week going on, and they really do attract listeners. So, and listeners I discovered from staging events myself really want to come and be and meet with each other in the flesh. And so that, to me, is something that was put in there for that reason. Then the issue of fund drive preempted shows. Everybody complains sometimes about how, you know, they do it in their show, and then it's preempted, and then they're not back for a month. So maybe we can institute a policy where during fund drives, as many shows that can continue to operate do their shows digitally. And that way, you know, we sort of push the audience to listen to shows that are being done digitally. And at the same time, you don't break the continuity of shows. Maybe given the technological problems.
I concur. I concur.
Yeah. But this way, people are always complaining about that. And this way, you know, and you don't make it you have to do it because some people don't have the technical abilities to do that. But you try to at least allow continuity of the shows so that, you know, people are not breaking the momentum of their work. And then you're shifting people to listen to shows on mobile devices or iPads or computers. And finally, the podcasting policy. You know, I actually just reviewed the notes that we took from that particular session. Grace was there. It actually was January 29th. We had a long debate about podcasting policy. And since that time, I've been to events in New York, and I'm going more and more to events in New York.
that have to do with podcasting. And I must admit, it is an amazing experience because there's so much going on out there that we're, you know, we're just beginning to interconnect with. And I'll definitely have more to share on that. But just to give you one example, I mentioned at one meeting we had, I went to a business meeting where it was the head of NPR was there. People from iHeartRadio were there, and all they were doing was talking about how to monetize podcasting. So all these things are far, far along developed, and I think we are, you know, again, I get back to we're behind the eight ball in this. The last thing I want to mention is that I went on a experimental radio pop-up that's called Montez Press Radio, and it turns out that every month in New York City, there is a pop-up radio station that's set up to stream that gets about a couple of thousand people an hour, right? And they are basically setting themselves up to speak to the contemporary art community in New York City. So they get, for 5 days, they get people from all over the place talking about every kind of form of art you can imagine. Now, I personally feel that would be good as a supplement to our normal programming to let our audiences in all the signal areas know that this is operating so they can listen to it. And the last thing is, this is an unusual thing that happened. Verso Books, which is a big lefty publisher, it turns out they do Facebook events with their authors over in their loft down in a neighborhood called Dumbo, which is down under the Brooklyn Bridge over there in Brooklyn. And they get a Facebook presence of 3,000 to 5,000 people an hour watching what they're doing. Now, again, those of you familiar with the Arbitron numbers in the stations know that I don't have to tell you how that's a pretty good number, 4,000 to 5,000 to be watching an event. And so we started to explore, and I want to follow up on that, to actually work with these guys. Again, that would be something that we offer as an additional supplement to our normal programming with no cost to us. It's just a question of letting people know, here's this link, and then one could work out a thing where they ID the fact that you're also being, you know, being streamed on BAI or whatever, or Pacifica. You know, there's ways to get out to other audiences to let them know who the hell we are. So I just wanted to share okay. those things. Those are things that just happened.
Okay, and that was what you wanted to share on podcasting?
The podcasting, basically, I think I would frankly like to hear people's talks about what they think. I do think we should pass. I know we argued about going back to, you know, coming up with plans and all that, but I'm just curious to hear what other people have to say about what their impressions of what's going on.
Okay,
with the podcast.
So we're still on the discussion. We'll come to that next, if you don't mind, on the written report to the programming committee. So my sense is that you want to keep all these motions that have yet to pass. We want to present that as potential work for the next formation of this committee. In addition, hopefully that they would pass.
Obviously some of them are no longer relevant, but the idea of specials, I would say the wall, the food stamp policy, Michael Cohen, I think there was a lot of cooperation in different stations on that one. Those are the kind of things I think that are worth everybody cooperating about. You know, the Game of Thrones is to exploit cultural phenomena.
Okay, so the reason just understanding how the PMB works, I don't know what the next session will be. Hopefully there'll be less distractions. But I think what I would do is write up more a paragraph explaining the reasoning for these things rather than attaching to the actual motions. Does that make sense?
Okay, fine.
So that people can digest it. I think the greatest problem that I saw with these motions is that they're too excessive and too long for the PMB to digest them. So,
right.
So I just think that it would be more useful to give the thinking so
right.
Behind them. But the motions
right.
we did pass, we'll just put them through as they are and see if they will be passed or in some fashion rewritten by the next programming committee. Because remember, the PMB did return a lot of these motions to us so that we could rewrite them. And so I think that's something also that the next committee can consider if they choose to. If we choose to, depending on who goes to the next committee. So I remember at some point we were talking about having some kind of subcommittee to the programming committee. I don't know if that would be necessary at this point. But so my thought is to just submit to the PMB all the motions that we passed, and with the motions that were under consideration, to minimize the actual motion for those motions that are dated and more give the thought behind them. So that's what I'm going to try to do. I'll send it out to all of you when I get that done, and any suggestions would be appreciated. So are there any other thoughts on what we might want to send to the PMB? My sense, Jim, that a lot of these motions have to do with two primary categories. One is streamlining the programming and, you know, the communication within the stations, you know, with training and such. And the other focus seems to be creating a presence online. So is that a reasonable way of presenting it based on what's
yeah.
here? I'm open to any suggestions, sort of streamlining the operations, I'm going to put that, and building a presence online as the two primary focus.
Well, let me add that I think the other focus is to holistically look at each station with the different elements that at least reflect what I've seen here in New York as weaknesses. I do not speak for the other stations. They have strengths. It may not be appropriate for them. But, you know, looking at it systemically and saying, okay, what can we do? Because the whole thing is to create an environment which is welcoming to younger people in particular to come and start doing work with us. And they don't need us at this point. That's why the digital thing is so important, because younger people don't need us. They can go create their own thing. And so that's where I think that, and to have the training, I think we passed a thing on a radio arts conference and all that stuff. These are things that we used to do. We don't do anymore. So it's worth thinking about doing them again.
You would put that under as a subcategory to streamlining operations and such?
I would say really enhancing them with attention. You know, what you get when you look at the podcasting stuff going on is those guys are very much into audio arts. I mean, it's quite astounding to listen to what I've discovered with what they're doing. They're doing stuff that the old Pacifica stations were always into back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. You know, really doing sound design, doing taking subjects and doing radio document. I mean, it's really amazing to see what's going on. So that element of what we need to enhance the stations locally with those kind of aesthetic sound kind of things that people can be exposed to, that's part of the reason why, you know, I was saying training and all this other stuff to get each station, you know, like having young people being motivated to learn the skills of radio and audio broadcasting design. I mean, I think that that's very important, and there's so much they can bring to our stations, which we don't even know at this point. We can't even see.
I get what you're talking about, but what I'm trying to get here is not to argue the point, but to highlight what the objective is, what the objectives have been.
I'd say to enhance the capabilities of each station, the whole system. That would be the gist of it all. To enhance
the stations and the system, the whole system. Okay.
Yeah. And enhance the abilities of the producers. You know, make the producers, you know, get them. You know, they already are very talented. Just make it even more of an open thing that people learn skills and they can transfer these skills into what they produce on the air. I mean, that's part of the intent of all these different things that we've been arguing about. They're not isolated from one another. They're sort of holistically systemic in what the thrust of it is. Streamline, I don't know if that's worse. But, you know, we can debate. You know, you could write something, we could go back and, you know, like one could critique it and then, you know, everybody sort of agree on what kind of report they'd want to send.
Jim, this is Sabrina. I'm totally on board. Sorry, Madam Chair. I just had to say that. I'm really excited about everything you're talking about right now as far as podcasting is concerned. So right on. Thank you for all your work.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Anything else that we would want to include in our report to the PMB? Okay, so that gives me some guidance. And so the only thing left was the podcasting discussion, which takes us deeper into it. And Jim left off by asking if anyone had any thoughts to add to the discussion. Does anyone have any thoughts to add to the podcasting discussion?
I think that was, this is Grace. May I be, speak?
Yes, sure.
I think a concept of how the podcasting meshes with our on-air programming would be good. There should be a bridge to allow people who have a big podcast audience that is streaming on our station's website, have a chance to be aired on the air so that it opens up our grid to some extent. I mean, I think that personally, I think that we are going to unusual solutions to improve our listenership, where I would prefer if there were more of a bridge to develop talent internally and have listenership be improved by the talent we create rather than outside talent. Although I see the necessity of importing strip programming, for instance, but I think it's only a necessity because we've fallen down in removing really mediocre programming if it can't be improved, and not nurturing the better programming, and not taking care to do enough community needs assessment to see what our communities need and want to hear. So, for instance, so podcasting might be a way to bring in challenge that's specific a challenge. So, for instance, at KPK, we are seeing an increase in listenership because we brought in Tom Hartman, who I think is very good. It's just that we are also should be creating an improvement of our own local talent. And possibly the podcasting is a way to promote or put on the air the most talented of people we have streaming their podcasts on our website. Does this make any sense, I hope?
It does to me. Okay. I would also like to comment. I think one of the things we lose from is both with importing programming, and I would like to see it implemented with streaming, is that there has to be some kind of a balanced relationship so that the people who are being built as an audience to the stream podcast would also be made familiar with the terrestrial air, so that within the context of a stream or within the promotion of a stream, there has to be some referral back to the air. So the relationship, I believe, needs to be reciprocal. And that's the best way to start building audience. But in the absence of that, it's very likely that we won't be the ones building audience, but whoever is coming in from the outside will be getting the greater advantage.
Well, Jim, just a sec.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that because we've had some pretty, I felt, fruitful and useful discussions with everybody participating. It's too bad that we don't have other people on the line here. People who are doing shows, external, like let's say we bring in, or we're able to persuade.
If someone, hold on just a second, whomever is working in the background, could you please mute? Cooking or cleaning, whatever it is. Go ahead.
Right. Anyway, I was thinking of going over and talking to one of these big podcast companies that exists in New York. I mean, I was tempted to reach out to them and just, talk to them and say, look, we're from Pacifica Radio. What are you guys doing? We'd like to learn, from what you're doing, and sort of be humble, eating humble pie to deal with these guys. Because, they're, in some cases, they've been gobbled up. There's this big sort of gobbling up process going on with the podcast companies now. And the gobbling up process is that these guys want to grow the amount of revenue from $200 million to $1 billion in a pretty short period of time. In other words, a 500% increase. Now, that means that there's just lots of, I don't know what I'm going to encounter, but I'm just trying to figure out how to work with these guys. Cause I sort of want to, it's sort of to, reinforce what's going on at BAI and other stations at the same time, establish a reciprocal relationship with these people. And I thought that if we were going to be having podcasts independently being introduced on air, that's where, at the very least, if it's somebody, if we're creating them, we could have some sort of forward promotion ID process that's rather normal. And I'm listening to the debates that they're having right now because they're trying to figure out how can you determine metrics for podcasting? How can you do this? How can you do that? But what I'm more interested in is the fact that these guys are really getting into the wonderful world of sound. And they really are, it's just astounding to me what they're doing.
And that, I think, that kind of energy being brought into the station would be really a revitalizing kind of energy. It just stuns me what I'm seeing, and I'm really being very, I'm not coming in there saying like, oh my God, you got to go listen to us. I'm really trying to learn. And I think that that energy would be really positive to be interacting with people to stations.
Okay. My sense of this is, does anyone else want to speak before I speak that hasn't
Cliff
spoken
would like
yet?
To.
Go ahead, Cliff.
Cliff.
Yes, Cliff.
I have a daughter and granddaughter who live on social media. My granddaughter's half Palestinian. She's even been interviewed on PFW, but she and my daughter never listen to PFW. It's just not part of their life. And increasingly, we have in the past 2 years been shifting to social media, and an increasing percentage of our pledges now come through social media, and it's great. But still, I think we ought to be aware that this is life for the millennials and for the younger people, and probably, radio is going to be less and less of a life for them. We still ought to put on these programs, but certainly we ought to market them that they can hear it on their social media and whatever form that they want to take. But I just think that it's really, really important. To me, there's a whole new thing beginning with Black Lives Matter that, I was active in the 60s and 70s, and I think we are entering a 10-year period of incredible enthusiasm and activism. And I'm afraid we're going to be left behind if we're not technologically available for these new people.
Can I comment?
I agree.
This is Grace.
Go ahead, Grace. Yeah.
It's interesting. I think it may be that the old Pacifica model may be the one most that may be most successful in the podcast realm. And what it is this. I don't think that people are motivated to contribute financially or give a lot of volunteer time to things unless they feel extremely interested or connected to a subject when it comes to radio. I think, for instance, having a new national and international news show, even if it's of superior quality, would not necessarily bring strong support for a Pacifica station. I think what brings support are sometimes niche programming because it...
Hello? I guess she dropped off. Grace? I'm sure she'll come back on. So I'll make my comment. The way I am seeing this and the way I have previously envisioned it, I did submit a motion to the PMB, I think it was 2 years ago, a year ago, I forget exactly. But I really think that this needs to have a separate department, if you will, similar to the affiliates department. Because I don't see that the staff has the desire or the wherewithal or the time and resources to build it. I think that it needs someone with great enthusiasm to do it. Maybe it's something that Jim would do in the future. I don't know. But I really think that we should be thinking about what kind of an underlining structure could we create to be able to build it. Because, truth be told... It does need to be programmed, and that's kind of a job category. It needs technical underpinnings, and it needs a unified online presence, something that could be identified as Pacifica, but also is available to all the stations to feed from, sort of like AudioPort would be, but only more public.
Mm.
But I think that we need to think about that, because I'm not seeing, at least at WBAI, a capacity or a desire to really support this, because the workload is too great and the staff is too small. And people have different ideas about what's going on and what needs to be done. And also, quite frankly, there's a difficulty at New York, it might be in other stations, with power and control, so that the person who might have the most political savvy might not be the person who is going to be the gatekeeper. And so I think that there needs to be some officially set up functioning committee, subcommittee, or staff set up that could really build this. It feels very haphazard to me at the moment. And mm-hmm. I think that that's something I would recommend that the next committee thinks about organizing. Grace, are you back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you just sort of, and the last thing we heard was niche programming. I think you were saying it raises money.
Well, it's like this. With the possibility of podcasting and somehow getting information from terrestrial into the radio to the podcast world, there's a possibility of attracting audiences from large geographic areas. I mean, it can be international. So then you have very strong interest groups or people who are interested in a subject that they don't hear reported about or talked about anywhere else. So let me think of another example. For instance, what if there was a show about talking about the victims of gun violence? And it was interviews with teenage victims of gun violence, or people who've witnessed or experienced firsthand gun violence, and interviews were done. Well, that kind of show might not have general appeal, but it might have a very strong appeal to a niche audience, and that's kind of that's what's created the in my mind, the strong supporters of Pacifica stations in the past, people who came in because of a program or programs that really, really resonated with them. I'll give an example at KPFK, an unusual program that consistently brings in money and fund drives, and that is, what's his name, Alan Watts. Have any of you heard of Alan Watts?
Yeah, we use him a lot in New York.
Yeah. So he's a kind of a Pacifica icon, and even though he's been dead for something like 25 years, his shows, his lectures, and the premiums that we create from those still resonate with a niche audience. And that's what the past of Pacifica, with the strong, staunch supporters of Pacifica, have come to a great degree from shows that resonate really strongly with people. And we have a kind of a patch quilt of these niche audiences. And that was the early strength of Pacifica, more than just a slightly leftish stand broadcast of news, although that also could resonate. I mean, I'm not trying to diss that, but we have the opportunity with podcasting to build upon niche audiences, and I think that Pacifica in the past has done that really well with having volunteers create very, very interesting and iconoclastic programming. And maybe we should concentrate a little bit on getting back to that. And I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think that should be denigrated as a radio form. And it's to me, it leaps easily into the podcast realm.
Well,
but I don't know.
You're into the